98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. 8:05 Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Tuesday, the 10th of March. We're only 4 days away. Exactly 4 days. We're 96 hours away. Hold it. Yeah, 96 hours away. From the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage. Get your information at GorgeRadio.com. You can get a bidder number still. You might want one. 541-296-2211. Like we said, it makes it go quicker. All you got to give is a bidder number, and your bid's flashing right up to the auctioneer. Or if you don't have a bidder number, you can still bid. But it is you got to get more information to the person who takes the call, and that bidder number person might slip by you. It might get more savings than you, which you don't want, by the way. You want to get the most savings. There's no question there. So, call 541-296-2211, and you can get your bidder number. And get ready for Saturday morning. All the details at GorgeRadio.com. You can get the complete list of what's up for auction. In fact, my understanding was, Lex, I better not say it. I thought they were going to make a few items up, make it available early through our e-deals, but I'm not quite sure if that's the case. So I'll be careful there. It's really not my department, so I don't know. Anyway, first part of the show, we don't have anybody. We had our scheduled guests canceled on us. So we just kind of got to stumble along here a little bit. Second half of the program, though, we do have a guest. It is Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee. Now, this was scheduled long ago. Yesterday, he made his formal announcement that he is running for Oregon House District 52. Jeff Helfrich is running for the state Senate, so the seat's open. We're going to talk mostly about some Wasco County things. However, I would be remiss if I do not ask him about why he decided to run for the state house. We'll do a candidate interview, of course, later on down the road in the process, probably sometime in late April. But we will have Scott on the show second half of the program. Again, wasn't really planned what ended up occurring. Which is, we will have him running. But anyway, what are we doing else otherwise, though? Well, we'll take a look at that Wasco County Commission ballot. By the way, is crowded. We will tell you who. This is the last day for people to file. Hood River County Commission is the opposite way. There are the three incumbents who have filed and no one else, which will eliminate the need for those interviews. I will say that. I'll eliminate those. But I'll tell you who's running in Wasco County, by the way, here in a little while. We got time to do that. So, and of course, again, they've got today still to file. But here's what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1496. Christopher Columbus concluded his second visit to the Western Hemisphere as he left Hispaniola for Spain. 1864, President Abraham Lincoln assigned Ulysses S. Grant, who had just received his commission, as Lieutenant General to the command of the armies of the United States. 1876, Alexander Graham Bell's assistant Thomas Watson heard Bell say over his experimental telephone, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you." From the next room of Bell's Boston laboratory. They were the first words ever conveyed by telephone. 1913, abolitionist Underground Railroad conductor Harriet Tubman died of pneumonia in Auburn, New York. March 10th, 1959, thousands of Tibetans rebelled against occupying Chinese forces surrounding the Dalai Lama's palace to protect him from potential harm. Fierce fighting between Tibetans and Chinese forces ensued in the following days, causing the Dalai Lama to flee Tibet for India, where he remains in exile today. 1969, James Earl Ray pled guilty in Memphis, Tennessee, to assassinating civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. Ray later repudiated that plea, maintaining his innocence until his death. 1993, Dr. David Gunn was killed by outside the Pensacola Women's Medical Services Clinic by anti-abortion activist Michael Griffin. It was the first killing attributed to a doctor's role in providing abortion care. And in 2019, a Boeing 737 MAX 8 operated by Ethiopian Airlines crashed shortly after takeoff from the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa, killing all 157 people on board. Got plenty of days today. It is Festival of Life in the Cracks Day today. Now, this, you know, if cracks in the street, sidewalk, you'll see little pieces of greenery poking out. That's what we're celebrating, apparently. Also, it is International Bagpipe Day. For those of you who are into the pipes, it is Bagpipe Day. It is the International Day of Awesomeness today. Folks that did this put on the, I guess this is Chuck Norris's birthday, and they thought Chuck Norris was awesome, or is awesome. I shouldn't say was. He is still alive. I should be careful with that sort of thing. He was awesome at kicking, wasn't he? Oh, you don't know who Chuck Norris is. I just realized, Cameron, you know who Chuck Norris is. I would think you would, because he was a fairly famous action movie actor and TV star.
I know who he is. Yeah. I just haven't seen any of his stuff, actually.
Okay, well.
But I know who he is.
I can't say I've watched much either. It doesn't really interest me, but yeah. But yeah, he came from, I think, a martial arts background, so that's how he got involved in acting, stunts, and then turned out he could act. He actually wasn't a bad actor, or isn't a bad actor. Not sure he's, you know, in the Jack Nicholson group, but who he is, really.
Right.
So there you go. It's also Landline Telephone Day today, for those of you who are like me and remember those. And a few of you might even have one. Actually, we have them here. It's Mario Day today. It's celebrating everybody named Mario. National Organize Your Home Office Day. Mine is a mess right now. It's Pack Your Lunch Day today. Brown bag it. A good one. It's Salvation Army Day today. We should salute them. And it is U.S. Paper Money Day today. For those of you who still, I occasionally use cash. I have to admit, I don't carry it much anymore. I do admit that. I tend to do most everything by card now. I do worry people, not especially young people, if they end up just basically using cards all the time, not having a tangible connection to money. It's just a set of numbers in an account, I fear, that doesn't mean anything. Okay, Cameron's going to weigh in. The younger generation's going to take issue here.
You know, in my experience, I'd actually say it's kind of the reverse has happened.
You believe, okay.
I'm so used to spending money through a card that when I have actual cash, it doesn't feel like real money anymore because it doesn't show up in my bank account.
Okay, I can understand that. You know, whereas I had cash, cash I have in my bank account to me were always two separate things.
Right.
Yeah, because that's kind of the way I grew up. Where I can understand that for you, where it's all about the bank account number, and maybe that cash never feels like you've had it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a there's a whole thing on social media that which. Great start, I know.
Yeah.
a whole thing on social media that was like, if it's cash and you spend cash, then you didn't really spend money because it wasn't on your account.
So we're going at it from different angles, but we're talking about the same thing. Is, again, not having a feel for what cash is and what that it does represent money.
Right.
I mean, I remember the first time I was given a $100 bill. Which today isn't that big a deal, I suppose. But when I was a kid, I probably was 13, 14 years old. So I think my dad gave me $100 for my birthday to take to the baseball card store and have a shopping spree.
You know, actually, I think I can remember the same thing. It wasn't a $100 bill, but it was, you know, it was $100.
But you know, however you want to say it, denomination, yeah. How many you put them together. But you knew that was a lot of money, at least at the time, a lot of money. That was, yeah. And so you associated it with that. So I can see what you're saying also, is that you don't necessarily, because now you are so affixed on what's in your account that your phone shows you,
mm-hmm.
that... Again, the idea that cash isn't really money. I kind of get that. Now, I don't think that's a good idea to have. It is really money.
It's not great.
You can put it in your bank account and save it if you'd like. Beck probably should save some of it, without question. But I get it. I get the whole thing. Finishing up here, we'll do the food stuff here. It's International Lime Day today. It's National Blueberry Popover Day today. Not a bad quick warm-up breakfast. And it's National Ranch Day, as in ranch dressing. That people now are dipping everything into. I always limited it to salad. I know people, chicken wings, buffalo chicken wings, dip in ranch dressing to cool off the heat that you ordered. Seems kind of counterproductive, but there you go. Yeah, it's a great way to take a nice healthy salad and put a little more fat and calories into it. 8:17, boy, I blew a lot of time here. 8:17 in the morning, we come back. I mentioned in the few minutes we have here. I'll mention who's running for Wasco County Commission. Scott Hagee's not one of them, and he'll be joining us here in about 10 to 15 minutes as MCT continues right after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If you want to get some work done around the house, the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Gill Mortgage is here for you. We've got rental certificates from Sawyer's Ace Hardware and Rental, carpet cleaning from Ben Bailey Carpet and Upholstery Cleaners, even an agricultural sprayer from Jones Truck and Implement. Tune in Saturday morning at 8 on AM 1340, 98.3 FM KIHR, 103.9 The Hawk, 93.5 KCFM or 105.5 and 96.9 KCGB, or listen online through GorgeRadio.com. Listen for the items to come up for bid, and when they do, call 541-386-1511 and make your best offer. Go to GorgeRadio.com for all the details, including a complete list of the over $160,000 in goods, services, and gift certificates from local Gorge businesses. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage, getting underway Saturday morning at 8. Be sure to stay tuned throughout the day. You'll probably save yourself some money.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
As long as I have a moment, that ag sprayer for our orchard friends out there. It is a Jones Truck and Implement branded 40-gallon agricultural sprayer. It will spray 5 gallons a minute with a retail value of $695. So if you are in need of a sprayer, check it out for the radio auction, 8 o'clock Saturday morning. And you might just be able to pick yourself up a bargain there. 8 in the morning into the mid-afternoon, probably around 3, 4 o'clock. And we'll be on the air on this station, 105.5, 96.9 KCGB, 93.5 KCFM, and 103.9 The Hawk. I don't think I can do that very well. There are other voice people who can do that well. I can't. I'm not that good at it. You really got to kind of dig down deep to do that right. Well, I mentioned I was going to say the Wasco County Commission candidates are, because it's a busy, busy election for this one. Hood River County is a complete opposite in that right now, again, there's still today to file. But Hood River County, there are no challengers, according to their website, for the three incumbents. Only one incumbent running for county commission in Wasco County for the two seats. Position one, that's the Scott Hagee seat. He is running for state house. Lisa Gamby, former county clerk. Nicole Beachler from Norcor. Rob Van Cleve, the former mayor of the Dalles, who currently is the interim and inaugural county administrator in Klickitat County. And John Grant, who's a businessman in the area, and I want to say he's on the Wasco County Republican Committee, but maybe the chair, but I don't pay attention to party committees, so I may be misspeaking there. He has run for another office before. Position three, Wasco County Commission. Phil Brady, the incumbent. Mike Ernest Motors. And Dick Schaffeld, who I'm going to, and I need to look up here real quick, but I think he's involved in Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue Board, if I remember right. And self-employed glass business. Yes, board member, Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue. Had to look at this sheet. Had to remind myself. But there you go. So, you know, the primary will whittle each seat down to two contestants for November, which means the primary is important. Of course, there will also be Hood River Valley Parks and Recreation District measures for, number one, the pool bond measure, and number two, the operating measure. And we will have primaries, of course, for the Oregon Legislature. I haven't looked at the Oregon Legislature lately here. I may try while I'm talking here to look that up. I know we've got contested races both ends in House District 52. I am not nearly sure. Last time I checked the State Senate 26, it was one Republican, Jeff Helfrich, and one Democrat. I don't know if anybody else has filed in the last little while. So I'm trying to do this while talking to you at the same time, which probably is never a good idea, by the way. I get that. But I do think people are interested and want to know. Of course, there'll be a Republican gubernatorial primary that's got way too many people involved for me to invite people or list. It is voluminous, to say the least. It comes down to three in all probability. Christine Drazen, been there and done that. Ed Deal, he's the one behind the referendum on the transportation tax. And also, Chris Dudley, the former Portland Trailblazer, who has come the closest of any Republican in the last 30-plus years to winning the governorship. He didn't miss by much. In fact, it was like within a percentage point of John Kitzhaber, before Kitzhaber had his fallacies. That was John Kitzhaber 2, not John Kitzhaber 1. I've always said this before. I hit the wrong button. I just reset the whole form. I was always a fan of Kitzhaber 1. Kitzhaber 2, the second go-around, not nearly as much. And I also think, quite frankly, watching how that ended, it was a cautionary tale for all of us who get to 60 years old. I'll just leave it at that. If you remember what you remember it, and the woman, younger woman that he had taken up with, and the issues, I don't. They may still be together. I have no idea, but there were accusations of improprieties as far as her influencing some things, if I remember right. I remember just thinking his last press conference, and it was like, this is a shell of the person I remembered interviewing on this program and elsewhere during his first 8 years as governor. I always thought they were a really bright guy. I always was good for him. Jeff Helfrich, the lone Republican for Senate District 26. There are now two running as Democrats. Nicole Bassett, who is actually out of Hood River. I'm going to admit, I don't know who this person is. I don't think I think this is the addition to this. According to the Oregon Votes candidate information page, she is a business sustainability and circularity consultant in the apparel and outdoor industry and has been a board member for local and national nonprofits focused on reuse and zero waste. So again, I don't know who this person is. Probably we'll find out here in the next little while. And then the other one on the list, if I can get the screen to respond to me, and it doesn't seem like it wants to do it. Probably I have to resubmit. Another governmental website I can't seem to do anything quickly on. Matthew Favreau is the man's name. Is the other Democrat candidate for Senate District 26. So there is a lot of them. Well, not for that race. It's a fairly substantially crowded field for House District 52 in both primaries. Scott Hagee has the easy name at recognition. Favreau is an AT&T network engineer, by the way, out of Sandy. He's worked for AT&T for 15 years. And again, he is running as a Democrat as well. So, Helfrich right now, unless something happens the next day or so, actually today by 5 o'clock, he is going to be unopposed in his race. And I'll really quickly go over the House District 52 names, because we are going to talk to, again, we're going to talk to Scott Hagee about Wasco County business, is what we're going to do. We're not necessarily going to get into, or I do feel like I'm obligated because he's on the show the day after an announcement to ask him about why he's running. I'm not going to get too deeply into it. We'll do that in a future interview. Robert Fleming of Gresham, Darcy Lapier of Sandy are the Republican running with Hagee for the Republican nomination. I know little to nothing there. Nick Walden Poublon, actually running against Jeff Helfrich last time. He's one of the Democrats running, and he gave a very credible showing for that election. For someone really you had not heard of in this district. Also, there's David Osborne, Hank Sanders, and Bernard Seeger, and I will have to look up all those folks. I think Seeger may be out of Cascade Locks, if I remember right. And yes, he lives in Cascade Locks. He's back, was their city administrator for a while. I knew the name in there. Also, Gresham Finance and Management Services Director. But we'll get to all that stuff later. It is 8:28 in the morning, and we'll check the news right after this.
So my friends over at Pure Talk have been sending me customer feedback from consumeraffairs.com, where thousands of people rate and review the top wireless providers. Here, for instance, is a nice note from James in Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes, quote, "After hearing Mike Rowe's ad, we made the switch to Pure Talk and we couldn't be happier. We went from spending $1,200 a year with T-Mobile to $420 with Pure Talk. Thanks, Mike. Switch today!" Exclamation point. Pure Talk is saving James $820 a year. And because he literally wrote the words "switch today" in capital letters with an exclamation point, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this commercial to him. So folks, take it from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pure Talk can give you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on the same 5G service the big guys are overcharging you for. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. You'll also save 50% off your first month. That's #250 to save an additional 50%. Thanks, James.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is this Saturday, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
Thirty in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Checking the news, a person was taken from the Fred Meyer store on West 6th in the Dalles to a medical facility with injuries suffered from a self-inflicted gunshot wound on Monday evening. According to the Dalles Police Department, city officers, Wasco County Sheriff's deputies, and Oregon State Police troopers responded to an emergency call of a gunshot victim at the location, along with Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue personnel. The Dalles Police detectives determined the gunshot was self-inflicted. The victim has been transported by medical professionals in serious condition. The investigation of the incident is ongoing. A Parkdale man has been arrested following an investigation into explosions heard last week in the Miller Road area of Parkdale. The sheriff's office says 35-year-old Weston Harvey was arrested and lodged at Northern Oregon Regional Correctional Facility in the Dalles on multiple charges related to the possession and manufacture of destructive devices. The sheriff's office reports that on the 1st of March, it received multiple reports from Parkdale residents near Miller Road of a loud explosion. Authorities say a search warrant was served Thursday at a home on the 5900 block of Miller Road by members of the Northern Oregon Regional Tactical Response Team, Oregon State Police Explosives Unit, and detectives from the Hood River County Sheriff's Office and the Major Crimes Task Force, leading to Harvey's arrest. The sheriff's office adding Harvey has been on supervised probation by Hood River County Sheriff's Parole and Probation since February of last year for previous charges related to the manufacture of destructive devices. As we've told you, longtime Wasco County Commissioner and former Port of the Dalles Executive Director Scott Hagee announcing he'll run for the Oregon House in District 52. Hagee will be looking for the Republican nomination to succeed Jeff Helfrich, who's running for the State Senate District 26 position. Two others are seeking the Republican nomination, four others the Democratic Party nomination. Hood River County School District has named Jessica Ramirez to take over as Hood River Valley High School principal, effective on July 1st. Ramirez, who lived in Hood River as a child, has family members who previously worked at the high school. She currently serves as an assistant principal at Reynolds High School and previously held principal and leadership roles in the Gresham Barlow School District. Ramirez succeeds Jim Donnelly, who has been the interim principal this year, and will return to his role as assistant principal at Hood River Valley High School in the upcoming school year. 8:33 in the morning, our current temperatures at this time. We can tell you that in Stevenson, it's 34, the Dalles, 34, Hood River, 34 degrees.
No passport needed. Enjoy sensational flavors from south of the border at Casa El Mirador. Delicious Mexican food made fast from the freshest and finest ingredients available. Enjoy Margarita Tuesdays and happy hour 3 till 6 Monday through Friday. Sizzling fajitas, takeout platters, and margaritas to go. Fully staffed with a banquet room seating up to 50. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. On 2nd and Weber in the Dalles with plenty of parking. Online at CasaElMirador.com. A fiesta of flavors. Casa El Mirador.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpine Automotive, where we specialize in keeping European rides happy. Audi, BMW, Mercedes, and even those tall Sprinter vans that look like hotels on wheels. We know them inside and out. And if you're wondering where we went, we didn't go far. We're just now 5 minutes from our old shop in our brand new location in the Upper Hood River. Same trusted crew, more space, and the same honest, family-owned service. Come see us at Del Carpine Automotive. European expertise and Columbia Gorge roots.
We would do anything for our kids, and sometimes the easiest things are the most important things, like checking the back seat when we get out of the car. Children get left or trapped in hot cars and die of heat stroke every year. All it takes is one distraction and the unthinkable can happen, especially on a warm day. We can prevent these tragedies with one easy habit. Always stop and look for kids before you lock your car and walk away. It only takes a second and can save a child's life. Remember, stop, look, and lock. A message from ODOT.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 780-1181. That's SheFire.
A chance of rain and perhaps some snow in the upper valley this morning, then rain this afternoon. High temperatures mid-40s and the west wind up to about 15 miles per hour.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are back as it is 8:35 in the morning. We have with us on the phone Wasco County Commissioner Scott Hagee. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Mark.
I've been mentioning that, you know, this interview is going to be about some county business, but I would be remiss, given your announcement of yesterday, if I did not ask you about why you've decided you're going to run for the Oregon State House.
That's a good question, Mark. anyone that knows me has heard me say for years I would never do this, and part of me doesn't know why I'm doing it, but a big part of me does. So I would say that the imbalance at the state and kind of the condition of the state is in a situation that it needs folks to step up and try to help. And I want to do that, and I'm passionate to do that at this point, and I'm looking forward to it.
And as I told people, we will have you on to talk about that at a later date, sure. But we are going to move on now to the role that you still have at this time, which is as Wasco County Commissioner. And I thought we'd start out with talking about heading to the South County, and okay. You had a lengthy discussion the other day, yeah, about the proposed solar farm and energy and battery storage site down the Pine Grove area of South Wasco County near Maupin. And it's interesting, and you were explaining it to people that were at the meeting, that, you know, in this case, the county, you're not the decision maker here. In many ways, you just get to comment and testify to the state just like everybody else.
Pretty much. We have a slightly different role. We're actually, as per state law, defined as a special advisory committee. So wherever these projects, these renewable energy projects or energy projects that go through FSAC, the county is always a special advisory committee. And the reason for that is because, as you noted, we're not in the decision-making role, but at the same time, we have ordinances and all sorts of rules and regulations within the county that we're basically hoping that the state will take and apply to this project. So that's our role, is to really advise the state that these are the rules and regulations and how our land use development ordinance would impact this project, and then encourage them to consider those and use those in their process.
And we should note, for those who aren't familiar, this is a very large project. This is, I think, 14,000 plus acres, and it involves a fairly large battery storage facility, which brings its own issues separate from just being a typical solar farm.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, you know, it gets a little, maybe slightly more confusing than that, because we do have one facility that actually is basically just finishing up. It's called a bake oven. It's actually bake oven and daybreak. But that's about a 300-megawatt facility. Mm-hmm. And then across the street, we have another project that is currently in process with the Energy Siting Facility Council, and that one is about 800 megawatts. So it's quite a bit bigger than the other one, and it's also off Bakeoven Road, kind of in a pretty remote part of the county. Those projects have been pretty straightforward, not a lot of comments, not a lot of controversy. This is a very different project. It's actually bigger, so it's 1 gigawatt or 1,000 megawatts. And it's over on Juniper Flat, which is an area that's quite a bit more populated in terms of people. And the project actually includes some properties inside the boundaries of the project that are not participating in the project, which creates conflict. So there's been quite a bit more, a lot more questions, and some folks that are not too excited about this project versus the other one, the other projects that we've been working on. There's been no, those issues didn't exist over there, and there's been much less comments.
The comments you were getting, much of which revolved around concerns about water usage with these facilities.
Sure.
Also fire, which relates into the water usage and perhaps increasing fire danger. The always present, does this impact the agricultural operations around that area? There's a lot to kind of sort through. And as you mentioned, the county basically acts as an advisory committee. And you really, and you alluded to this a moment ago, you really, in preparing the comments, and this came out of your planning department, was spearheading this, but really just kind of used as a framework, if this was coming to us and was through our land use development codes, what would be the questions and responses we'd want if it was going to be our decision to make? Is that accurate?
That's exactly accurate. And so it was interesting. The letter that we wrote in with our comments to the Energy Society and Facility Council was over 160 pages long. Now, I can tell you, I've been here for almost 16 years. We've never had a letter we've written and approved that's been like anywhere close to that. So obviously, there was a lot of work that went into this. And a lot of it was because we've taken comments from the public over the last, you know, several months, if not a year, and we've got a lot of comments. And so our staff wanted to make sure that they kind of addressed those, looked into our land use development ordinance, and then make sure that the state knows, you know, somebody commented on it, this is an issue, it's related to our land use development ordinance, we're asking you to address it with the developer.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know from an economic standpoint, because your background in economic development over the years, do facilities like this bring much in that area?
So that's a really good question, and one that's being talked about a lot. So as you can imagine, there's not a lot of jobs, just straight out, you know, kind of full-time permanent jobs that come as a result of these projects. There is some. Obviously, you have that big of a project, there's going to be a crew, you know, to operate it and take care of it and deal with all the issues that come as a result. But there is some, you know, it's actually an investment as it would be anywhere else, you know, into tax base. And so taxing districts in that area would get revenues associated with that. So there are benefits and there's drawbacks. It's like everything, you know. And the challenge is in South County, it's like, you know, sometimes it's hard to find something that actually brings tax base down there. This would be huge, but it's also a huge project. So I think there's concerns kind of related to all of that.
And we should note here that this is hardly the only opportunity the residents down there are going to get to comment on this. This is still in a bit of a preliminary application process, isn't it?
Yeah, so the process has been underway for over a year. They made I think they came out even before they made a kind of an intent to apply. But then when they made an intent to apply, they actually had the state had a public meeting. So it was an opportunity to just hear about what the idea behind the project was in a little bit and then make public comments. They have submitted their draft application, and that's what we're commenting on. And then basically when they get it to a final stage where they have an actual application that's complete, then the state will start the process with a complete application, start having hearings and different opportunities for folks to comment. And those comment periods are open now on the draft application, I believe, still. And then it will eventually become a final application, and then the state will begin that process. It's probably at least a year to a couple years out before it actually gets all the way through the process, it would be my guess.
And my point was in there, there is a point where there's a public hearing, isn't there?
Yeah, and that hasn't been set because the application has not been deemed complete yet, and that's why we were commenting on it. But as soon as it's deemed complete, then that process starts, and they will start having those meetings and go from there.
And as a county, from the county government standpoint, how much more involvement do you have in that? I mean, do you continue to offer comments? You mentioned you have a 160-page document you sent at this stage in the process. Does the county get further involved?
So, yes, I would say we're always going to be involved because it's in our county. The the interesting situation here is when we're not in control of the process, but we're still, obviously, it's happening in our county, our citizens are impacted, so we will still be involved. Our role will be essentially to make sure that those comments that we made are at least considered, and as our planning director noted, you know, the draft application was thousands of pages, I believe. So whether or not, like, everything was in there, and we may have made some comments, and actually they did have the information in there. But so we will follow through to make sure that all those are considered. And the reason for that is because there have been some situations where FSEC has not considered local ordinances. And our hope and our concern is that, you know, we want them to follow the ordinances that we have in the county to protect, you know, folks in different ways. So that's going to be our role. We will continue to follow this for sure.
Also, at last week's Wasco County Commission meeting, front and center was the update on Rowena. There's been a lot happening on that front. Most notably, the Secretary of Agriculture has concurred with the management area changes from the Gorge Commission, which as soon as there's a couple more letters, I guess, got to fly back and forth between the County Community Development Department and the Gorge Commission office. But it should have opened the door now to really allow the folks who've been waiting to be able to put RVs on their property and move forward with some applications. We appear now to be close to being able to do that.
Yeah, I think we still have some more work to do in terms of process from a land use planning standpoint. But I think, you know, essentially, you know, the idea is out there that it's going to be approved. And while we haven't been, I mean, we're not telling people that they can go and live out there for more than 60 days because that's the current rules. Unless there's a complaint, you know, we have really not been, we haven't received complaints. So folks are, you know, living as they want to live out there and kind of working on redevelopment. So that was some good work that was done. And the other thing that's really been kind of encouraging is the work to clean up the sites out there is, you know, well underway, nearing kind of completion. And anybody that was driving by yesterday just looking at kind of the status of everything, and it's like, it's pretty amazing, even though as devastating it was, and it's truly devastating, especially for the people that are out there, but it looks, you know, the debris and everything is largely cleaned up, and it's starting to come back, and obviously we're heading towards spring, and it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like, but probably in a year or two, you won't really know that devastating fire went through there. There's a lot of work to do in terms of recovery. A lot of folks are still hurting, and there's, you know, but there has been some great progress as well. So we're very happy about that. And our staff and a lot of people have been working very hard on that.
And before I let you get away here, you got 2 or 3 minutes left. We are hitting budget time for the county. And it appears the county is in pretty good shape heading into this.
Yeah, I think financially we're in good shape. I'm actually not involved in the kind of the front end part of the budgeting this year. Phil Brady's doing that for us. So I haven't been super involved, but yeah, I think financially, and you know, we had a financial report at our last meeting. We have generally financial reports from our finance department every month or so, and you know, we're good.
Anything else you're working on as a county commissioner right now?
Well, I would say that the one thing is we do have a town hall meeting in due for tonight.
Okay.
I believe it's at 4:30. So folks kind of in the south part of the county, the commission will be down there. I think some of our staff will be down there. I will actually only be able to join electronically because I have some other things I have to work on, but I wanted to encourage people to come. If you have questions, concerns, you know, it's a good place to come and talk to us, and we're going to be doing that right before the Duper City Council meeting.
And I would suspect that, frankly, water is going to come up at that meeting. A little bit, just
you
because.
Think?
Yeah, just a thought, just a thought on my part. What can I say after all these years?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Water is definitely a big issue. In fact, you know, the outreach team from the Dalles here is going back to D.C. again, and we're going to be talking a lot about water back there as well.
Are you taking that trip this year? I had Andrea Claus on. Yeah.
Yep.
So what do you plan to highlight on that trip? I mean, we've gotten plenty of opinions here.
Yeah, so obviously the goal is to, we support everything and anything, you know, in the community. So we're supporting, you know, the city's effort on House Resolution 655. But for us, a lot of times it's Securural Schools related to forest policy. So Securural Schools actually got passed in December of 25. So that was a long fought battle. It was actually, it lapsed for a couple of years. We got payments going back. I think the, maybe the came, one of the first payment came in yesterday is what I heard down in Salem yesterday. But so we will continue to work to try to make sure that the federal government understands that if they don't want to do timber cuts in the forest, they need to help so we can deal with roads and schools. So that's a big issue for me, making sure that that continues.
I will mention you are right on the town hall time, 4:30 today at Dufour City Hall, the Wasco County Commissioner's Town Hall meeting. Dufour City Council will meet at 6, so it's before that one, so people can go and give their opinion, especially if it's for those in the Dufour area in particular.
And folks that are interested, there's also a Kramer Field cleanup day this Saturday at 9 o'clock, so if folks want to be involved with that, come on out.
Yeah, you can get the fields cleaned up for another season. It is... I think spring's coming. I thought spring was already here about a month and a half ago, and now it seems to be leaving again, and maybe it'll be back soon. I have no idea. The weather has been
snowed at my house last night, and apparently we're going to have 60-mile-an-hour wind. So.
Oh, yeah, we should note you're up on a hill.
Yeah.
So for those who are wondering about that forecast. Scott, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Scott Hagee, Wasco County Commissioner with us. And again, we'll talk about his bid for the Oregon State House. We'll have a candidate interview with him at a later date, probably sometime in the mid to latter part of April. It is 8:51 in the morning. More on MCT right after this.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-285-2521. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-285-2521. 800-285-2521. 800-285-2521.
Illicit fentanyl is the deadliest drug threat that our nation has ever experienced. It has killed hundreds of thousands. Many of its victims didn't even know they were getting fentanyl. Such a tragedy. This is Robert De Niro. One of those tragic deaths was my beautiful grandson, Leo. He was just 19 years old. Fentanyl doesn't care, but you do. Join us in the fight against fentanyl. Find us online at ladrfoundation.org.
Say hello to the Goodbyes Coupon Book.
The Goodbyes Coupon Book is back.
On page 50, take 25% off any service at Big Bombshell Beauty, located in Beaux-Trois Day Spa and Salon in the Dalles. And on page 12, get $3,000 off your purchase of a new double-wide manufactured home from Columbia Gorge Affordable Homes.
Pick up a free Goodbyes Coupon Book at any of these business locations or online at gorgeradio.com.
Hello, Goodbyes. Goodbyes.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today Guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
You know, before we talked to Scott, I was mentioning some other election races as we are into the final day of filing, by the way. There'll be congressional primaries. 3rd District, Oregon, which is Hood River, Wasco County line westward, so Hood River County involved in this. Maxine Dexter, there's two other Democrats running. There are no Republicans. It's a heavily Democrat district. Dexter is going to be pretty much unchallenged there. There isn't a whole lot to say about that one. There is a fairly busy Democrat primary for the 2nd District to oppose Cliff Benz. Has a couple other Republicans running against him, power of incumbency, and et cetera. that's not going to change much in that story. But there's three or four fairly serious Democrat candidates running in the congressional race on that side, on the second district side of the Hood River Wasco County line. So that's interesting to pay attention to. Again, the filing deadline is today. So we'll know tomorrow what the lineups are. And, of course, also don't forget to get the transportation referendum, the transportation tax referendum. That will be on the May ballot. It appears in the state of Oregon, the legal proceedings pending. So just make sure and remember to vote during the primary. One of the things with this transportation tax referendum date was, well, not as many people vote in the primary's general election, which is true, but you know, really, you should use the right you have to vote. A lot of people don't have this in this world. So please do. Please vote. Oregon voters pamphlets will come out soon, and that'll be a great resource for you if you are not following closely some things, and you don't follow everything closely. But, vote. Make that argument moot. The political argument about whether it should have been in May or November on the transportation thing. Just go vote in May. And render that whole argument meaningless. But anyway, it is closing on the radio auction. We're under 96 hours now. The clock is ticking. And first of all, if you need your VIP bidder number, sometimes we get calls to the number we use for this show, by the way, for bidder numbers. We are not able to do that for you. So you do need to use the number I'm telling you, which is our office in the Dalles, 541-296-2211. You do this before Friday. Now, if you don't get a bidder number, you don't have to have one to bid. As we've said, this just makes it easier. Yeah, you give your bid and say, I'm bidder number X, whatever your number is. Rather than have to go through your name and your phone number. It's quicker. It gets you to the a little more to the front of the queue, a better chance to get your bid in first if someone else is bidding the same number. But all sorts of great opportunities here. You've got XTC Truck and Toy, if you're into these sort of things. They got 5 Fly Kinetic helmets available. 3 UWS Bright Aluminum or Black Embed Toolbox. Also, certificates for standard front-end wheel alignment, which you may need after the winter time, such as it was. And also, they've got a winch. I know there's a lot of you guys out there, and ladies for that matter, who want a winch on your truck. You do heavy-duty work. This is a Warn VR 12S Evo model number 103255 winch, valued at $1,099. You can go to XTC Truck and Toy in Hood River and check this out. You can take a look at it. If you are wanting some wine, Wines on Second, they've got $50 gift certificates we'll have available. Those will probably be instant auction items, discounted for you to purchase. Also, if you're planning to go down to Wildlife Safari this year, there are various types of passes available. There was 10 Wildlife Safari family of 4 passes with an exclusive animal encounter of your choice. That's kind of cool. Those are going to be available. Also, you want to just go to the Land Museum here in Hood River and pay a little less. There's going to be a bunch of adult day passes that we'll sell during the auction. And Twin Peaks Drive-In, there's gift certificates for lunch. $20 gift certificate for lunch, dinner, or takeout. They'll be available. I'm just reading the back page. There's all sorts of stuff here. Go to GorgeRadio.com and check it out. We'll be back tomorrow on Mid-Columbia Today with Mid-Columbia Community Action and Hood River County Health Department. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Mid-Columbia Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to GorgeRadio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.